It's On Second Thought. I'm Celeste Headley. Suicide, overall, is the 10th leading cause of death in America, but in rural areas, it's a little higher than that. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention say the suicide rate in rural counties is now roughly 6% higher than in cities. Here to talk about that is Asha Ivey-Stevenson, a behavioral scientist for the CDC. Hi, Asha.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing well. And Andy Miller joins us as well, editor for Georgia Health News. Hi, good to see you, Andy.
Thanks, Celeste.
Asha, can we talk first about how the trend is going? It looks as though the suicide rate in rural counties has grown up by a significant rate, but how does that trend look?
Well, the trend, one of the things that we did in the Morbidity Mortality Weekly Report, that's the report that CDC puts out, we looked at the trends not only among the three different urbanization levels, so we broke them down by large metro, medium, small metro, and rural. And so we're seeing increases across all, consistent increases across all counties, but particular increases consistently higher in rural areas than in metro areas. And so that's one of the things that, you know, really prompted us to look further at some of the select demographic characteristics.
So Asha, we talk about suicide as something that is preventable, but how do we actually know the most effective ways to prevent someone from taking their life? Do we have like a step-by-step guide to how one goes about doing that and how one spots someone who's at risk?
Right, right. Well, that's definitely one of the big questions. And one of the things that CDC recently released for that, you know, purpose of trying to help communities tackle with that problem is what's called a suicide technical package. And essentially, that's a core set of strategies developed using the best available evidence that have the greatest prevention potential. And we've developed these packages across various areas. Suicide is one of the areas. But this provides information across different strategies, really trying to provide communities and states with programs that have worked, but the challenge is trying to tailor those to the needs of a particular community. So, for example, rural areas, there's one particular program called Sources of Strength, and this is a program that was developed actually in rural and tribal communities in North Dakota. It promotes connectedness, but one of the things we always say is, you know, when looking at these programs, any of these programs may be able to be tailored to rural communities or other communities, but it's just a matter of trying to work with the state and local health department to make that happen.
Andy, there are other factors that complicate the attempt to prevent suicide in rural areas, certainly in rural Georgia. How are these efforts affected by some of the problems we've talked about before, lack of funding, lack of doctors who are practicing in these areas?
Right. I think, Celeste, we have to look at two major factors here with suicide in rural Georgia and rural areas in general. One is the fact that the economics of living in rural Georgia aren't as good. There's not as many jobs. There's not as many job opportunities. And so there's real income inequality when you compare rural areas to suburban, urban. And we know that financial difficulties can lead one to become depressed. Another issue is a lack of providers. I mean, mental health professionals, we have a shortage in this state, particularly in rural areas. I think like 60% of the mental health counselors are practicing in Atlanta among the 60%.
60% of them, of the whole states.
Of the whole states.
Are practicing in Metro Atlanta.
And so there's 13 counties in this state that don't have a mental health professional at all.
Anywhere in the county.
Correct. And so while primary care doctors can diagnose and treat depression, there's no like really ongoing care in some of these areas. And you also have transportation issues for a lot of people getting, there's no public transportation really. And the fact that there's isolation issues as well that can drive depression for many people living in rural Georgia.
And you know, Asha, that social isolation has been on the rise since the 1980s. I read one report in which it said the number of people reporting that they're lonely has doubled from 20% to 40% over the past 30 years or so. Do you have any idea why that is in this day and age in which we should be more connected, right, by social media and smartphones? Do you have any idea what's causing this sense of loneliness and isolation?
Well, one of the things that we definitely know, you know, is a risk factor for suicide is, like you said, isolation. The physical isolation is definitely increased in rural areas. Now, the particular
physical isolation has increased as population goes down in those counties, you mean?
Well, the physical isolation is definitely one of the risk factors in various counties, and I'm speaking across United States, so not just Georgia. But one of the things that is helpful, and like you said, there's telebehavioral health, so that's things like telephone, video, and web-based technologies. Now, the challenge, though, is that internet access can be, you know, kind of sparse in rural areas. So one of the recommendations we made was to, you know, perhaps using some of the information from our study that highlights the differences by rural areas, targeting things like the Federal Communication Commission, broadband access needs to try to prioritize specific rural areas for those particular telebehavioral health approaches so that we can, you know, reduce the isolation and the increase the connectedness. That's one of our big topics here is connectedness.
If you're just joining me, I'm speaking with Asha Ivy Stevenson, a behavioral scientist for the CDC, and Andy Miller, editor for Georgia Health News. Andy, to what extent are our health systems responding to what I would think of as a pretty serious crisis, especially among white males between the age of 35 and, say, 65 in rural areas? The risk is incredibly high.
It is, and one thing that they are doing is they're trying to, many of these rural health systems are trying to incentivize not only physicians but all types of medical professionals to practice in those areas. And I think that's something that Georgia has done some of, but it could do a lot more of in terms of maybe with loan forgiveness programs.
For a doctor, they forgive their student loans if they go and practice in those areas.
Exactly, and that type of thing can really be good. And telepsychiatry is something that can work and has worked, but we need more broadband access in rural areas to make it work throughout the state. But that's one area that we could really do more of, and it's been successful according to people that have done it.
So, Asha, this particular research was launched by the former director, CDC director Tom Frieden, and he really placed an emphasis on rural communities and their health in general. Why? What was the mission behind this push on research in rural areas?
Well, there's definitely been research across the board, and like I said, with Tom Frieden, he highlighted this as an issue not just in the suicide world, but across various issues. So what we have in this is a kind of a report, a series of studies that you'll see. If you go on the MMWR website, you'll see reports including suicide, other things like motor vehicles, opioid. There's a number of different factors. And this was, you know, really kind of promoted by Dr. Frieden based on, you know, different findings that we're seeing disparities and have seen for a while disparities across these different areas in rural areas particularly. But Celeste, if I can jump back to one of the things you said regarding, one of the things we looked at is differences by race, ethnicity. Uh-huh. And while it is definitely important to take into account the rise and the increase among white males, middle-aged white male, 35 to 64. It's also key to note that, and we identified this in this study, that non-Hispanic American Indian Alaska Natives have the highest rates in rural counties,
wow,
while non-Hispanic whites, they have the highest rates in metropolitan counties. Again, this is, you know, they're high for both, but it's really important to highlight some of those differences, particularly for American Indian Alaska Natives. contrary, non-Hispanic blacks had the lowest rates in rural areas, seeming as a protective factor.
Do we have a good understanding of why men are so much more likely to take their lives? I mean, 4 to 5 times more likely. Why?
Well, this is one of the things that we did not really look into in this particular study. Our focus here was really looking at assessing the problem, so identifying that, you know, how much of a disparity is there. But we do know that males definitely have higher rates of suicide, and females have higher rates of attempts. And, you know, there's a lot of different factors that potentially could go into that. Lethality of means, such as firearms. We looked at mechanisms in our report as well. That can be differential in terms of the rates between males and females. So there's a number of different issues, but we did not look specifically and delve specifically at the why in this particular study versus, you know, the what's the problem.
Andy, this is something that you have been reporting on for a while. Was there something that was surprising to you in this report?
Well, the fact that the disparity was there was really not that big of a surprise, because rural areas have trouble with a bunch of different diseases, not just depression, but diabetes, obesity, hypertension. So we see this disparity throughout the medical world, and it's alarming, but it's something that I think the state legislature and the budget people in the governor's office really need to look at the fact of how can we get providers for all these chronic conditions out into areas that really need them in rural Georgia.
And I also read, and it may be from your own reporting, that in rural areas they're less likely to work for employers that offer health insurance than in an urban area. So I wonder what effect you expect this whole battle over the Affordable Care Act and whether or not premiums will go up and all of this insecurity and uncertainty in the insurance market, how might this complicate the battle against suicide?
Well, we know that people, Celeste, that don't have health insurance are less likely to go to doctors when they need to. And I'm sure
including
that's...
Including for mental health issues, I assume.
Exactly. And so when that happens, untreated mental illness can obviously lead someone to get into the position where they might think about taking their life. And so insurance coverage is extremely important, not just from a medical, mental health point of view, but also a financial point of view, too, because someone who winds up with a big medical bill can obviously go into bankruptcy if they can't pay it. So it's a problem. The insurance coverage in Georgia is a problem. We have one of the highest uninsured rates in the country.
So, Asha, before we go, you know, this study had a very specific question to answer, and you answered it. For you, what do you think is the next question?
Well, definitely we need to look more into some of the evaluation of some of these particular prevention strategies. And that talked about that suicide technical package. We have a number of evidence-based, you know, prevention initiatives that are put forward in this package. However, the evaluation of these, we need to put more resources into evaluating these programs, particularly in certain areas such as rural areas where they may not have been evaluated. So that's one of the things that we really talk about in our public health model is evaluating, not only developing the programs, but evaluating the programs and policies. And we really, really need to do more in that area. But I do want to, you know, just really end with suicide is preventable. You started with that point, and I really want to emphasize that point, that suicide is preventable. It's not caused by one single factor, but it's rather multifaceted. It's something that we definitely want people to know that there is help, there are resources, one of which is the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline, provides 24/7 free confidential support for anyone, any time of the day. And that's 1-800-273-TALK or 273-8255. And we really just want to get the word out that suicide is preventable.
That is Asha Ivey-Stevenson. She's a behavioral scientist with the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, and Andy Miller is editor for Georgia Health News. Asha and Andy, thank you both so much.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much.